dominates Pocono. Tyler Reddick's once impressive points lead shrinks down to just 19. And now the NASCAR series is headed to Naval Base Coronado. All of that and more. And Lee Spencer joins us on this edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Glad to have you with us here on Fast Talk. I'm Doug Rice, joined by Alexis Erickson, and Lee Spencer drops in for the show today. So thrilled to have two great folks to chat about the same thing we've talked about the last couple of weeks, Alexis and Lee. Then that's Denny Hamlin winning races.
And smashing records. Yeah. I mean, that's what he seems to be doing on a regular basis these days. We have our now third win in a row from Denny Hamlin this past weekend at Pocono, and started on the pole and you know, got the checkered flag first.
Lee Spencer, should we be surprised by any of this that's going on right now?
I would say not, and simply because what Denny has been able to do leading up to this. Just think about last year, right? He, for all intent and purpose, had the championship in hand until a late race caution. We might be talking about Denny Hamlin as the 2025 Cup champion, but, you know, if that happens, then it probably doesn't make this run he's having as spectacular, because I said to Chase Briscoe, and you guys were at Dover, you watched this firsthand, it's almost like he's laying in wait for that perfect opportunity to pounce. And he's letting these younger drivers think, oh, I've got a little taste of it. I'm so close to getting the first victory of the year. And then Hamlin just snatches it out of their hands. So it has been in such a dramatic fashion. And let's not forget last week, 11-second lead to the finish, no mercy run at Michigan. I mean, come on. I mean, he is playing with these guys at this point, and I am having so much fun watching this.
It seems to be. And I think what makes the story even better for me, Alexis, is the way that last year ended. You didn't know how this was going to go. You didn't know. That could break a lot of people.
It could. I mean, if you don't have the resolve to come back from that, and not just what happened at the end of the season, but all the things in the off season that happened too, the tragedy with his family. And there was just so much happening in Denny Hamlin's world that, you know, a weaker person could have said, you know what, I can't handle all this. I can't do that and do this at the same time. But that's not Denny Hamlin. He can do like a million things at the same time.
Apparently
it seems
so.
Like, at least that's what he's been training us to believe over the past few years, because he does. He's so good at compartmentalizing things. And when he's Denny Hamlin, the race car driver, he is the best version of Denny Hamlin, the race car driver. When he's Denny Hamlin, the team owner, he's the best version of that. Or the disruptor that we've seen him be in the NASCAR Cup Series as of late. So, I mean, I think the bottom line is, like, Denny Hamlin, don't ever count him out in any sense of the word.
Let's go back and catch his winning moment.
The master of Pocono Raceway showing what he can do at the Tricky Triangle yet again today. Final time for Denny Hamlin in turn three.
Here comes Denny Hamlin out of turn number three. He'll swing his orange Toyota Camry wide up against the safer barrier. Denny Hamlin comes to the start-finish line. He becomes an eighth-time winner at the Pocono Raceway. Denny Hamlin wins the Great American Getaway 400, and he wins his third consecutive race in the NASCAR Cup Series here in 2026.
And he did not let that race win get away yesterday at Pocono. Three in a row there for Hamlin. Let's grab a little bit of the victory lane.
It's just been an amazing run. I have never been through anything like this. He's not afraid to put me seventh or ninth and say, all right, well, you got to go past those cars now. Restarts have been a lot better over the last month, and you know we've gotten that a lot better. So we keep finding little areas where we need to improve and making them better, and this is what you get.
So Denny Hamlin sporting King's Hawaiian and the Minions.
The Minions. I know. I'm currently looking at a picture of him on Twitter where he's got, in Victory Lane, where he's got the like Minion goggles on. I love it so much.
And Lee, I do think this is made for a fascinating story, and we do have to talk a little bit about the points. We're going to jump into that in depth a little bit later on, but it just seems like right now, we haven't seen maybe this kind of play except for Larson. I feel like his championship year, it was almost a foregone conclusion. He was going to be a factor. Right now, I feel that way, especially any oval we go to, that Denny Hamlin's who you got to beat.
Well, that might be the operative word, oval, because he said, you know, even at Michigan, and I know he reiterated it at Pocono, that just give me a 15th place finish at the next two tracks. I'll be happy to take that. I'll stay home. You guys keep racing. Because he knows it's not his bread and butter. And I asked him specifically at Michigan, you know, do you really have to make the most out of these next couple of tracks on the ovals to kind of build your, you know, points up? And he said, absolutely, we have to make hay now. And he's done just that. What he was able to pull off, though, three straight, and it's kind of surprising to me, and I don't know if you know, you've been there for his entire career, to be a guy and just the fourth driver to win three races in a row from the pole. Your hero, Richard Petty, was the first to do it in 1966 and 67, followed by Bobby Allison in 1971 and then DW in 1981. Think about that. It's been since 1981 since this kid from Southern Virginia pops into the scene and in his 21st season in Cup pulls off not just three in a row, because it's the first time he's done that, but three in a row from the pole. It's just amazing to watch the level of maturation that we've seen in Denny Hamlin.
Here's the thing that I find interesting. This is the third week we're talking about this. This guy winning again. But Alexis, he's 45, as we've well documented. Most of the time you get to that age, you have that place where your performance level slips, but people still want you to do well because you're the senior statesman. We saw that actually come into fruition with Kyle Busch before his untimely passing. People were embracing him. They wanted him to win because of the things he had done in the past. Denny is defying that. He's getting old, but his performance is not dropping off.
And in some aspects, it's getting better.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just, you know, at a plateau. It's at, you know, it's starting to reach a peak, I think. And he's doing fantastic things on the racetrack. When you think about, you know, and Lee mentioned the ovals, like obviously that is his bread and butter. We're going to the road courses. We'll see what happens. I still think he's probably going to have pretty good runs the next couple weeks. And even if he has a misstep here or there, it's not going to do much, I think, to knock him off his game later in the season. When you look at the chase races that there are, like, I don't know how other drivers in the field can't look at that and go, oh no, we're in trouble. Because when you look at, I mean, Darlington, Bristol, Vegas, Martinsville, like all of these racetracks that he is fantastic at, and he's just getting better as the season goes on. It's going to be, I think it's going to be fun to watch.
And the amazing thing is Reddick hasn't fallen off the side
no,
of the earth.
No, no.
He's still doing okay, Lee. I mean, week in and week out, he's there. He's in the top five or the top 10. But when the guy that you're fighting with for the number one spot is winning every week, it's hard to keep up.
You know what I love about this moment, Doug? And as I said, you have seen a lot of racing and a lot of different team dynamics over the course of your career. But what we're watching right now at Toyota is for all, you know, again, a 10 race team. Ford used to tout Ford one, this, that, and the other. Ford is not working together as one. Toyota is. And they've got a 10 car factory back team. We saw the benefit of it yesterday at Pocono, especially to see John Hunter. This was John Hunter's week. Last week it was Eric Jones' week. So you put in legacy with the 2311 Joe Gibbs Racing partnership. They just keep on gaining. And going back to Tyler Reddick, as you mentioned, he's not going anywhere, but they feed off of each other. He has helped Denny, telling him what he needs to know going into San Diego, going into Sonoma. You know, Tyler is a really decent road course guy, as we saw at COTA. But they help each other. Denny really helps his teammates at Joe Gibbs Racing, but he helps his own drivers at 2311. Just one point in general I'll make real quick is Chase Elliott and Christopher Bell have said time and again how Denny Hamlin at 44, this was last year, they've added to it this year, outworks his younger drivers. That's the reason he's on top. He has perfected how he prepares for each and every race, and we're seeing the benefits of it now, and it's just amazing.
Lee, your comments set up perfectly our Toyota Performance Report, brought to you by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be a part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. Denny Hamlin wins at Pocono. Tyler Reddick in second. John Hunter Nemechek fourth. Sixth went to Eric Jones. Ninth was Ty Gibbs. Half of the top 10 cars were Toyota. Chase Briscoe was 12th. 16th was Riley Herbst. Bubba Wallace got in the one crash of the day, wound up finishing 21st. And Christopher Bell, they made a gamble on fuel. You knew it probably wasn't going to work out, but it was interesting over the last few laps. He did have to come to pit road. He wound up finishing 26th. That is our Toyota Performance Report. We'll start looking ahead to Naval Base Coronado and a couple of road courses that await us next.
How does Chase Briscoe win? With the hands of his pit crew changing four tires in under 9 seconds. The voice of his spotter carving a path through the pack. His race engineer, systems engineer, all working tirelessly to shave off a tenth of a second. With his team at Toyota, his crew chief, his fans, his family. It's all of this all at once at 200 miles per hour. From the moment Chase joined Toyota to the moment he ends up in victory lane. So how does Chase Briscoe win? In summary, not alone. Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal and is so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and X to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name Z-Max for your car. Big rigs, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
I'm Joey Logano, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
I'm Andrew Kurland, along with David Stiles, here to give you the latest NASCAR news and opinions each weekday on PRN's Garage Pass. You'll hear everything from race recaps to feature stories, industry news, and chatter from around the garage.
I just think it's interesting to see kind of what your heart rate does in moments of calm or, you know, when things start to ramp up and how quickly it can kind of recover from that.
With Garage Pass, you won't miss a moment from green to checkered flag.
Victory Junction is a year-round camp for children with chronic and life-threatening illnesses and serious medical needs. We'll see 120 kids with spina bifida, 120 kids with craniofacial disorders, 120 kids who have diabetes or who have asthma. From 6 to 16 years old, it empowers them to just be the kids that they are that week. Not their disease, not their illness, they're just a kid. If you know a child that can benefit from Victory Junction, we'll do everything in our power to make sure that child comes to camp.
Back to the show, Doug Rice along with Alexis Erickson and Lee Spencer on this edition of Fast Talk. We're going to take a quick left-hand turn here. I did a couple of things this weekend that I don't normally do. I spent 45 minutes watching soccer.
Yeah.
That may be 45 more minutes of watching soccer than I ever have in my life.
I bet you there's a lot of people listening to this show that can relate to that while the World Cup is happening. And, you know, it seems to be the sport of the moment. So a lot of people that don't normally watch it are watching.
Hey, Lee, did you take any of the beautiful game?
A little bit. Yeah. My son is a huge soccer fan. He actually has a website called The Soccer Sheet and follows the Charlotte team pretty readily. I mean, he's really made it. It's kind of funny, you know, the next generation of my family going into journalism, but he has a website called The Soccer Sheet. He covers the Charlotte FC team. And he's just huge. We actually, for Reed's 75th, my husband Reed, his 75th birthday and Sam's 40th birthday, we went to London last year to see Wimbledon, who's Sam's favorite English soccer league team play. So yeah, we're into it. But I have to say, watching the Canes on Sunday night win it all, bringing back the second trophy, the NHL trophy, that's a big deal to us.
That was the second thing I did. I watched hockey, which I'm not normally. I very little bit of except Olympic hockey.
Yeah.
But I turned over last night. I knew they were winning 2-0. And I thought, I'm not going to turn it on because they'll lose.
Finally,
with about 3 minutes to go, I turned it on and watched the Carolina Hurricanes win the Stanley Cup.
My husband is a huge Canes fan, so it was a big deal in my house. And he was very excited to you know, secure the Stanley Cup win last night. But I will say, in regards to the World Cup, one of my favorite things is I'm not really a big soccer fan. I'm not going to go on here and say that I am. But one of my favorite things to take in during all this is happening is when you see people from other countries coming to the U.S. and then talking about it on social media. Like, I saw a post where I can't remember who it was or what country they were from, but they went to a Mexican restaurant and they were shocked that they got chips and salsa for free. They were like, we did not earn this. We did not pay for this.
Yeah, I think they were German.
They
got a kick out of it. And I mean, it was like the fast food thing blows a lot of these country, you know, the foreign travelers away because they're just not used to seeing that. And I just get such a kick out of it. And, you know, that's why I like to see the world, because I like to experience their perspective.
Sure.
And I think it just brings us all closer together.
I'm sad now that people come to this country and the thing that they are most impressed with is eating garbage.
Well, you know, we are known for a few of those types of things.
Yeah, we are.
Taco Bell, right?
Here's some cholesterol. Welcome to America. But anyway,
just some of the funky names that they, you know, at the foreign, like a McDonald's, what they call, you know, Hungry Jack, I think is Burger King, and it's like, you know, some of the names they give it, it's a hoot.
It's fascinating.
I deviated off course. I enjoyed it a lot. The Stanley Cup is a cool trophy. It might be the best trophy you win in sports.
It's pretty awesome.
Is there a racing trophy that you can point to, or what do you think the number one trophy in NASCAR is?
Gosh, I mean, I guess it really depends, you know, on what your favorite racetrack is, because that's probably going to determine it. But I think a lot of people look at the Martinsville clock. I mean, that's something that people talk about all the time. I think the Charlotte Motor Speedway trophy is pretty cool. It's been the same, you know,
sort
for
piston inspired design.
Yep.
There's
a lot of
Nashville guitar.
Cool. The Nashville guitar, yes, also very cool. There's a lot of really cool trophies in NASCAR.
And well,
I would say
obviously Daytona. Harley J. Earl. Mm-hmm. That's way up there. And
the Borg Warner, I think, for IndyCar is pretty cool too.
Yeah, because you get your face engraved on
there. Beautiful.
Yeah. That's very nice. It's very nice. And I don't mind the Miles the Monster.
Yeah, that's pretty
awesome.
Cool. That's number one, I think, to like kids under 10 everywhere.
Yeah.
You know,
I want that, you know, so that's cool. Anyway, I hope you had a great weekend. We're going to get back and we're going to compare Denny Hamlin and Tyler Reddick on the road courses. They're coming up next.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
This July, it's more than a race. It's a full-on, wide-open NASCAR weekend. The Quaker State 400, available at Walmart, takes over Echo Park Speedway July 11th and 12th. Engines roaring, lights blazing. It's high-speed action on the track and tailgates that turn into stories. All under the lights. Bring your crew, make memories. It's a summer night you won't forget. The Quaker State 400 available at Walmart. Get tickets now at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
This is Christopher Bell, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
It's time for a PRN pit stop. Today, we're getting to know Nick Yeoman.
Let's crack him up.
Who's the first person you called when you found out you were joining the PRN booth this year?
It was my dad, who, I mean, he's the reason I'm a racing fan. There's pictures of me in a crib just like hours old, and I've got like a Bill Elliott, like Coors Light number 9 hat on. It's like much larger than my head, and I have a large head. So he was definitely the one that I reached out to first.
What's the best advice you have for an aspiring broadcaster?
Well, it's going to sound silly, but it really is as simple as call what you see.
What's the craziest call you've made in your career?
Turn number 2 for the Indianapolis 500, when Scott Dixon soared through the air, I called it live, and seeing Scott Dixon's car fly through the air in flame, fire, you know, debris everywhere, that was probably the biggest one that stands out to me.
This was a PRN Pit Stop with Nick Yeoman.
Conversation about Denny Hamlin, and well, there should be. Now has 64 career victories. He's won the last 3 in a row, and he is quickly catching his own driver, Tyler Reddick, who looked like he had an insurmountable lead, we thought, after the first 10 races of the season. Denny is now 19 points back. Lee, right now, and actually, Alexis, use ChatGTP to figure out these percentages here, which I was impressed. Denny Hamlin's record on road courses right now. His average finish is 14.3. And he does have a road course win. I did not know that until I should have known that. He won, 2016?
Watkins Glen. Yep.
At his 14.3 average goes up against Reddick's 11.3 average. What will be the formula for success for Denny Hamlin at the next 2 races, which is Naval Base Coronado, nobody knows what to expect, and then Sonoma. What should Denny's high watermark be to get out of those 2 races?
Well, as I said earlier, he said he would take 15th. I think if he is running as well as he does now, he's in great shape. Physically, mentally, he's got the entire package going, despite what his record looks like. And as you said, 1 win compared to Tyler Reddick, who has 4 of his 13 victories have come turning right and left. If Denny gets out of the next 2 races, I would say with a 10th place finish, you know, maybe at both of them, or, you know, somewhere 12.5 because he wanted 15. If he's anywhere under 15 for both of them, I think that he'd be happy with that, but I expect more. As solid as that team is right now, that pit crew, he thanked the pit crew. Thank Chris Gayle. He loves the pit crew. I think that's one of the reason he did the burnout right by where all the guys were coming up on the wall. But if he can come up of those 2 races better than 15th, I think it's a win-win for the 11.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree with that. I think, there's going to be a level of, just survive for everyone going into San Diego.
Correct.
And so, you know, if he can be on the better end of that than some of the other guys, then certainly that's going to be great for him. You look at how much of a point of Tyler Reddick's point lead he's carved off in the last, it's like 100 points or something insane that he has carved into Tyler Reddick's point lead. And if he can just maintain that going into the following races after that, I believe he's got a really, really good chance of surpassing him for the regular season championship. So right now, I think it's just survive these next 2 weeks.
I feel like if he can get out of these next 2 and he's maybe loses a little bit of ground, but
sure,
Let's say he's within 40 points of Tyler Reddick, that
it's doable.
They finish out on the ovals for the till we get to the chase, I think it's very doable for Denny to win the regular season. I don't know how important that is. He's either going to go in first or second, it looks like.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, I mean, we've heard so many people, and I mean, Lee's probably heard this too ad nauseum since the chase has been announced. Like, you have to be, what, third seed or better, some people say as far back as fifth, maybe potentially. But he's going to be well-rooted in that area that you need to be able to have a really good chance at the championship. And like I said in the previous segment, you know, a lot of those chase races shape up really, really well for Denny Hamlin.
He's either going to be first or second going into this, because I don't think anybody behind him can catch him.
Yeah,
Ryan Blaney's not going to catch these guys.
No.
Ty Gibbs is not going to do them, yeah. Although Ty Gibbs is boxing above his weight right now. So, Lee, I feel like we've got a two-car race for the regular season title right now, and I don't see anybody else behind him that can put on a string of races good enough to catch them.
Doug, the only thing I'm thinking of is something finally clicks for the Hendrick Chevys, because they seem like they're right on the verge of figuring out this new car, and then something happens and it kind of goes haywire. But when you start getting back to some of these bread and butter tracks for Denny, and Chicago, Atlanta, North Wilkesboro, Indy, Iowa, Richmond, this is just really lining up strongly for Denny Hamlin. And I think they're looking at those 10 bonus points. They still get 10 bonus points, right, for winning the regular season? Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think 10 or 15, something along that line. Yeah.
Okay. But whatever that is, I cannot picture the way Gale thinks that that's not a big-ass carrot that they want to put in their basket, because it would just simply put them in such good stead in case something happens going down the stretch. But the way that he's picking up stage points, the way he's picking up wins, cutting 122-point deficit down to 19 with those three wins, it's just amazing. But like I said, I started seeing this trend – I mean, in earnest at Dover. I'm not saying that he wasn't great before that, but when he was just sitting there and toying with Chase Briscoe, and then he's sitting there at Nashville and he's toying with C. Bell, it just seemed like he's having fun with these guys.
Sure,
I mean, it's just over and beyond just typical strategy and perseverance.
And can I just say how thankful that I am that Denny Hamlin is going on this tear? And I'll say that because if he wasn't, then there would be no drama,
right,
for this regular season championship. There would be none. It would be Tyler Reddick and everybody else because of, you know, how he opened the season with so many wins in a row. And so, you know, a lot of people are like, oh gosh, Denny Hamlin keeps winning. I'm finding it extremely entertaining because he's giving us, you know, at least even if it's only a two-person race, he's giving us a race here in you know, the middle of the season.
And slight course correction here. Whoever wins that regular season title gets a 25
bonus. Okay.
That's a big hit.
That is.
That could make all the difference in the world.
Absolutely.
So that's a carrot, to go back to what Lee was saying, that's a carrot worth chasing here.
Yeah, you dangle that in front of Denny, he's going for it.
I don't want to flush away Tyler Reddick's chances.
No, certainly not.
Or take away the fact that he has had a dream season.
He has.
But this is what have you done for me lately sport,
yeah.
Like all sport.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What you've done for me lately is won three in a row and cut down Reddick's lead to 19 points. So that's what it is. Hey, by the way, Shane Van Gisbergen is showing up at Naval Base Coronado.
Is he?
Yeah,
no,
he is.
Oh, everybody else is like, bummer.
Lee,
take that week off?
Is it foregone? Did we just go ahead and put his name on the trophy, barring something catastrophic?
I'm thinking with this style of road course that they have laid out, street course, whatever we're calling it, that it plays right into his wheelhouse for him to have run on so many different venues, so many circuits, and so quick to figure them out. I mean, look at him. First time, Chicago Lampoon. Who the hell is Shane Van Gisbergen?
Couldn't even say his name right.
Couldn't get his name right.
That time.
Well, it's just easier to say SVG. It kind of rolls off the tongue easier. But for him to be in that position and just he comes out of nowhere and wins the inaugural event, and then he's on your map. I will say, watching what he was able to do at Nashville, you know, better at Dover, better at Michigan, if qualifying really seems to be the quagmire for that group, because he said it's so different from what he did back in, you know, back in Australia, how they qualified there. So if they ever figure out qualifying, will he be up with Denny every week? Probably not, but I see top tens regularly in his future if they can just get over that qualifying hump. That being said, road courses, that's his wheelhouse. You know, everyone else is battling for second. But with my luck, somebody will come out of the blue. You know, it's a home track kind of sort of for Zane Smith. He could be somebody that, you know, surprises us, although Pocono.
No, they're not. We're just saying words.
We're just saying words.
Yes.
Okay.
Look, SVG's going to go and win this thing.
You're handing him the trophy, Doug.
Yeah,
right?
I am. He's going to probably win by 15 seconds on a 3.4-mile road course.
Well, I mean,
Denny won by 11. Shane wants to win by 97. Okay?
Well, it could be possible. Yeah. I would not put it past him. I mean, I have heard, and, you know, we tend to hype things up a lot in the media. That's part of our job. And a lot of what I have heard about this layout, because it's a track that nobody has ever seen before, a course that nobody has ever seen before, is that it is extremely difficult. Potentially the most difficult course that these drivers have ever seen. And to have someone like him who has the prowess of picking something up like that so quickly and adapting to it so quickly, I think that is going to be the best tool in the toolbox that he has that nobody else really has. I mean, and don't get me wrong, all these drivers have had sim time on it. They've all done something of that nature. But when it comes to the real world, what's going to happen when we strap into these race cars and hit the go pedal, I think he has got an advantage way bigger than anybody else.
I will be shocked if he doesn't go out there and school the field.
Yeah.
And well, that's not, Alexis, it's not really going out on a limb, is it?
You're absolutely right. I'm in the scrums every week, and that is exactly what the driver said. The hardest road course ever that we've raced on. And there's also, they were talking about getting airborne. You know, there's places where they're going to launch the cars. I mean, this might be one of the most dramatic runs we've ever seen. And of course, not knowing what to expect, and the drivers who haven't, you know, been on sim or, you know, gone down that route, and they're just going to take it, you know, when they get there, it's going to make for very interesting racing, the absolute unknown.
Alexis, I don't know that I've anticipated a race as much as I have this, maybe going all the way back to the first Brickyard.
Wow, really?
I mean, I'm just that geeked about it.
I think
it's going to be exceptionally cool.
I think it will be exceptionally cool too. I'm excited to potentially see these cars launch in the air. I mean, I don't know. That's, you know, something we've never really seen too much before. And just the atmosphere there. I mean, I also have heard that, like, they're going to be minimal feet away from the water, and there's going to be like just the picturesque nature of what we see and what we witness, and the event itself, all gathered into the 250th birthday of America. I mean, I think it just is a story that I think people are going to be interested in seeing.
I feel like I've heard that the prime broadcast booth is actually going to be on an aircraft carrier that's moored there. It's not.
I heard the same thing.
Yeah. So, okay, that's hard to beat. Right. That's just hard to.
Like, if they don't have Tom Cruise come out in like the Top Gun, I'm gonna be upset.
Yeah. He needs to give the command.
Yeah.
Coming up, does anybody really know what time it is? We'll talk about that next.
It's more than a rebellion. When your teen is slipping into drugs or alcohol, when social media and pornography consume their time and their mind, when depression and even suicidal thoughts cast a shadow over your home, as a parent, you feel powerless. There is hope. At Turnabout Ranch, troubled teens step away from the chaos and into a clarity of nature on a working cattle ranch. care for horses, learn responsibility, build trust, and rediscover purpose. It isn't theory, it's real work, real therapy, real healing. Families from across the country have found transformation right here, just when they thought hope was gone. If your teen is struggling with addiction, harmful online behaviors, even weight management, call right now and get the help you all need.
800-277-1650. 800-277-1650. 800-277-1650. That's 800-277-1650.
This is Kyle Larson, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
I'm David Stiles, and each weekday, Andrew Kurland and I bring you the biggest stories from the garage on our daily show, Garage Pass.
I finally got onto a smooth road and just did one of those nodders and woke up tumbling, you know, out through the middle of the desert. And we had literally a vehicle that would move down the race course and chase you. Well, our chase truck got into a fender bender in a small little town, and the guys got locked up in jail.
That's PRN's Garage Pass right here.
Hey, race fans, we can't wait to see you right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway for a wicked fast, wicked fun weekend this August as we host New England's only NASCAR Cup Series weekend. Live performances, driver appearances. Don't forget to keep an eye on NHMS.com as we count down to New England's only NASCAR Cup weekend, August 21st through the 23rd, right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway, New England's big track, where it's always about family, friends, and fun.
Breaking down a lot of the action from Pocono, it was a race dominated with fuel strategies and time spent on pit road more than it was side-by-side action. But one of the more intriguing things, and I made note of this on my Twitter account, and normally I'll put something out there and it may get minimal engagement. Yesterday, I apparently hit a nerve with people when I asked, what do you think of the 1 o'clock start time? Because they moved the race start time up 2 hours to get away from impending weather.
Which is a bit unprecedented.
Yeah.
The 2 hours.
2 hours is the biggest swing I've ever seen, except for the year that they moved up, I think, the Clash in L.A. a day.
Oh, right, right.
But,
yeah.
I mean, this was rare. Part of it is because Prime doesn't, they're not hemmed in with the restrictions that a network has.
Yep.
And it worked out beautiful. And I had over 300 comments on this tweet just asking people, what do you think of the 1 o'clock start time? 95% of the responses was, I love it. This is the greatest thing ever. I concur. Yeah, I do too.
I couldn't agree more.
I had, hard pressed. I had a couple of people say, I'm on the West Coast, but I get up and watch football games at 10. This didn't bother me.
Yeah.
But the overwhelming majority of the people loved it. I don't think it'll be changed because NASCAR wants that. And NASCAR and the networks want those West Coast numbers that they feel like they get with a 3 o'clock start.
I'll be interested. I'll be interested to see the ratings come in and see how different maybe they are from a race that was at the same track that started later last season, kind of compare and contrast. But I personally love it. I think you give people the opportunity to enjoy the race and the broadcast and then also still be able to do things that they need to do. I mean, I think it was our Hank Lee that said, look, I'm a fan. I watch every race, but I still got to mow my lawn. Like, I got other things right. I got to do, you know? So I'm a fan.
This is absolutely the beauty of Prime and not having parameters. Not only do they give the fans fabulous coverage. You know, what Danielle Trotta has been able to do in the post-race and the pre-race is exceptional because they bring you stories you're not going to get on one of the big networks. It's just, they don't have the time for it. And the fans have been begging for Give me more post-race. I want to hear what the drivers have to say. I want to hear what the crew chiefs have to say. Tell me the story. And Prime has delivered that in spades. Moving the time up yesterday, I had to rearrange my schedule because we had planned everything for Sunday morning, which was going to really slam into the start of even the later time in the race. Moving it to noon here in Central Time, where I am right now, it opened up my entire afternoon. I went and saw my cousin. I went and had dinner with friends. I saw the hockey game. I mean, it was a beautiful situation. And as you said, Doug, people on the West Coast get up. Even when we go to Hawaii at the end of the season, we get up at 8 o'clock to watch that first NFL game. So I don't, you know, I know TV wants a lead in to whatever big show they're going to have, you know, whether it's football or, you know, some other event. But I have to say, this to me is Bill France time, and that's where the races need to start.
I had other people make that comment on my Twitter question. It wasn't really a poll. It was an open-ended question.
Sure. Yeah.
And I'd like to know more about the metrics of why they have settled on this 3 o'clock start time.
Yeah.
I know it has to do with TV viewing because that is almost the most singularly important thing that there is in this game. Get eyeballs to
watch. How many times does it get us into trouble with weather, though, Doug?
Yeah. I know, Lee.
When you take it that late in the afternoon, you are running the risk of afternoon showers. I mean, time and again, we have just been, you know, put into such a tight box. And then you run the risk of not getting the advertised distance, which the fans at this point, and you've heard it from fans, you're in contact with them, throughout the course of your business. Fans are spending, and I hate to use, you know, hard-earned money, but in this economy, what they spend to go to the racetrack, this is a luxury for a lot of people, and to cheat them out of 100 laps, I mean, it's not fair to the fan base.
I can only tell you of the races when I was going to all the PRN races, how many times I have sat in the tower, and it's beautiful, and it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and then by the time 3 o'clock rolls around, it's raining or we know we're going to be interrupted by weather that we could have easily avoided with that 1 o'clock start. And I'd love to see him go back to it. I don't think it'll ever happen, but just judging from my very non-scientific poll, race fans love that 1 o'clock start. I thought it was awesome.
It worked yesterday because I mean, none of us were there, but from people that I know that were boots on the ground, it pretty much started raining as soon as the race was over. So had they gone at this scheduled time, they would not have gotten, and then it would have put the industry in a bigger box because there's a very, very tight turnaround to get to San Diego. So there was a lot for them to consider, and I'm glad that they made the decision that they did.
Lee mentioned Prime and the fact that they have the freedom because they're not tied in with network programming. And I will say this to every sports fan out there that talks about streaming like it's something evil, it is going to be the way we get sports.
Absolutely.
eventually every sport you watch is going to be a streamed product, and that's just going to be the nature of it, or a great deal of it.
And as we've seen with Prime, there are pluses to that.
Yeah.
There are things that are better because of the fact that they're on streaming, and this is one of those examples.
And you're paying for everything you get. If you have cable, guess what? They're not giving you that.
Right.
Spectrum is not giving you free cable.
Yeah.
So you're having to pay for that unless you're that very rare person that has an HD antenna on
bunny,
top of their
bunny
house.
Bunny ears. Yeah, exactly.
And streaming's here to stay. It's not going anywhere, and it's going to be more prevalent in every sport moving forward. Coming up, a little green flag, black flag.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Shane Van Gisbergen for the final time up here in turn number two. He brought a gun to a knife fight today.
Gun, you, and down.
and he got hammered by Ryan Preece. Brad Keselowski's off into the dirt as well.
The Toyota Save Mart 350 at Sonoma, Sunday, June 28th. Tickets at SonomaRaceway.com.
This is Carson Hocevar, and you're listening to the PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Welcome to PRN's At the Track. I'm Lenny Baticki. We are PRN's half-hour weekly show dedicated to the short track, dirt track, legends, and kart racing across the Southeast. We provide our audience with the news and insightful conversations with the newsmakers from grassroots racing.
How did that help you this time to take this victory from a grassroots perspective?
I definitely felt like Martinsville was a lot harder than the other one.
That's PRN's At the Track.
Appreciate Lee Spencer dropping in with us today. You can catch Lee on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. By the way, watch the post-race coverage, and you can see Lee scurrying around back there getting her interviews for Sirius. I've seen you kind of body check a couple of people, it looks like.
Well, I do. I am so respectful of my fellow reporters out there. You've been down there. You know what it's like. It's a fun beat, though. And, Doug, in all my years, and I told my bosses this, we had an air check last week, and I'm like, Denny is turning into the biggest thing we've had in the sport since the Dale Earnhardt, Rusty Wallace, Mark Martin, Terry Labonte, that era when all the drivers were bigger than life. Denny is kind of growing into that bigger than life character. That, and Alexis was right, we so need this story right now.
Yeah, we do.
And after his heartbreak, and I was there when he got out of the car at Phoenix, and that was just probably the most brutal interview. And I don't mean from his perspective of what he was putting out, but just the heartbreak. It was just unbearable to watch, you know, even a 44-year-old man just in utter shock. But to see him turn that around, to turn that into a catalyst for this run he's on now, I am there for it in just so many ways. I'm trying not to be fangirl, but we pull for the story, and this is one of the best stories I have watched in my 30 years.
It is refreshing at a time that we need that. Let's move into this.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
Already, we have three of the finest minds that NASCAR has produced, ladies and gentlemen,
where
in this
are they?
Room.
I was going to say,
I think they're down the hall.
I don't see them.
I'll give that to Lee.
And we're going to put them to work today on Green Flag, Black Flag. I'll read several statements. If the panelist agrees, they give it a green flag. If they disagree, it gets a black flag. If they're all in unified agreement, that's the way that works. We got anything else if they give a dumb answer? Okay. Dumb answers
no
get that.
No answer's a dumb answer. Oh,
right.
That's question.
There are
sorry.
No wrong
sorry.
Answers
sorry.
Here. Sorry. All right, here we go. And the we'll start with Doug Rice.
Okay.
And the regular season winner for 2026 is Denny Hamlin.
Green flag.
All right.
Yeah, even though he's 19 behind, I think it's almost a fait accompli.
Yeah, I mean, green flag. It's really hard to go against that at this moment. It's all about what have you done for me lately, and he's doing more than anybody else.
All right, Lee?
Green flag. Hey, 19. See ya. It's going to grow over the next two races, but once we get back on the East Coast, it's going to evaporate quickly.
All right. Here we go. We'll go to Alexis Erickson on this one. 1 p.m. start times are awesome.
A 1,000 green flags, yes. Thank you. Thank you, sound effects.
All right, Lee.
I agree, and for everything we spoke about in that last segment, bring back Bill France time.
Okay, Doug Rice.
I can't mash the little heart button enough. Yeah. There you
there
go.
There it is. All right. Now, here we go. The next new winner will be Eric Jones. Lee Spencer.
Eric Jones, his first new winner for this season. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yep, next new winner.
I got to black flag that because I think Hendrick will get there before they do.
All right. Doug Rice, what do you think?
You know, Brad Gilley's not here, but Eric Jones is his boy, unabashedly. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be the proxy voter for Brad Gilley and say green flag, Eric Jones gets it done.
What do you think, Alexis?
I'm going to say green flag because I'd love to see it. You know, I think Eric Jones has been at this game a really long time. I think he's a fantastically talented race car driver. And for him to be having this moment right now, for Legacy to be having this moment right now, for them to be finally seeing the rewards of switching to Toyota, I think it would be a great thing. So green flag.
All righty. And Doug Rice, your Father's Day is upon us here coming up. On Father's Day, dads really don't want a tie. They want a nap.
Oh, all day long, green flag. And you don't have to take me out to dinner. Just kind of leave me alone.
Well,
it's too people-y out there.
This might be controversial, but the dad in my house usually gets to take a nap. Whether it's Father's Day or not, he's napping. But sure, I'll give him another one on Father's
Day. Lee, what do you think on that?
I think the nap deserves the checkers because usually Reed just falls asleep in his seat. So that's, you know, he takes all the naps he wants.
The secret is out.
Hey, at 76, he deserves to nap.
There you go. Doug Rice, it's yours.
I have heard this story told over and over again. Do you know how old people fall asleep in a chair? They just have to have a chair.
Pretty damn much.
Sit down and the magic just takes place.
Well, that must mean I'm old then, because all I need is a chair. And
I wish I had that gene on a plane. I really struggle.
Oh, I do.
To sleep
I'm great at that.
You can sleep on a plane?
Oh, easily. Easily.
I wish.
Even before it takes off. I mean, it starts going down the taxiway and I'm out like a light.
I have never had that. Our previous race director, Alicia Lingerfelt, we flew to a lot of races, and we always sat on the same row. She was asleep before they got off the taxiway.
I wish.
Me too.
And she'd wake up 10 minutes before we land. And I'm sitting there. I'm afraid I'm going to drool, snore.
My next flight is to Sonoma. A great one. And I'm pretty sure I will be awake for the entire flight, there and back.
Flying into San Francisco?
Yes.
Horrible airport.
I've seen worse. Dallas is not my favorite.
Oh, that's a challenge. But I don't have a favorite airport.
Indy.
Indy's a good airport.
Yep.
Daytona.
Yep, Daytona.
It's tiny.
Manchester.
And there's a little sandwich shop in the Daytona airport that serves the best tuna fish sandwich on the planet.
I'll second that. It's pretty good.
It is pretty good. And it's like $8.
And it's so close to the racetrack, you usually see like the Blue Angels flying around and all that. So, yeah.
A lot of cool stuff there. I don't know how we got off on that.
I'm glad
we did. It felt good for me. All right, we'll take a break. Be right back.
How does Chase Briscoe win? With the hands of his pit crew changing 4 tires in under 9 seconds. The voice of his spotter carving a path through the pack. His race engineer, systems engineer, all working tirelessly to shave off a tenth of a second. With his team at Toyota, his crew chief, his fans, his family, it's all of this all at once at 200 miles per hour. From the moment Chase joined Toyota to the moment he ends up in victory lane. So how does Chase Briscoe win? In summary, not alone. Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system. Keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. trust the many customers who said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at ZMAX.com or follow us on Facebook and X.
This is Josh Berry, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
The NASCAR Cup Series head to Sonoma Raceway.
Shane Van Gisbergen for the final time up here at turn number two. He brought a gun to a knife fight today.
It's the Toyota Save Mart 350.
The advantage is 8 or 9 car lengths over Chase Briscoe. Fans jump to their feet to salute SVG on this beatdown Sunday here at Sonoma.
Coming out of turn number 12, he'll see the checkered flag.
The Toyota Save Mart 350, Sunday, June 28th at 2:30 Eastern on PRN. Sonoma Raceway.
Start your engine!
It's the Pit Boss Food Max 250.
Sam Mayer now looking low at the start finish line. Mayer's trying to take away that spot from Larson.
Cruz got uprooted off the bottom of the racetrack. Sam Mayer's going to look to the inside. They try to go three wide for second.
They were fighting over that real estate there with Justin Allgaier and Larson prior to the restart.
The Pit Boss Food Max 250. Saturday, June 27th at 5 Eastern on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
We go roaring into the last block of the show here. Once again, special thanks to Lee Spencer for dropping in with us today. And it is time for this little ditty.
One last thing.
You're on deck, Alexis. What you got for one last thing? Can be anything on the planet that you want to talk about. Doesn't have to relate to racing.
Well, this one does relate to racing, but not NASCAR. This past weekend, Lewis Hamilton, who is one of the most decorated drivers in F1 history, showed that never giving up, you can reach your goal. He finally got a win for Ferrari in Barcelona. I think it's his 106th win total, but probably one of the most special to him at 41 years old, which also, by the way, crushed me a little bit because I thought he was older than me, but he's actually younger than me by like 3 months. So that was a bitter pill to swallow. But congratulations to Lewis Hamilton and Team Ferrari on finally getting the win in Barcelona. It was really cool to watch. It was a great experience to see that through his eyes. And I just want to say, don't ever give up. If there's something that you have a dream to do, keep at it, because you never know.
All right, the rallying cry in Galaxy Quest: never give up,
never give up,
never surrender.
That's right.
He's an attractive man, by the way. Just thought I'd bring that to the table.
Sure.
All right, Lee, what you got?
I
gave up my man crush on Lewis Hamilton.
Oh, no, no, no. I watched that from start to finish, which kind of leads into my other thing. You started talking about streaming. I hate the fact that this weekend is going to be Prime's, final race of the run, because what they do for the race fans is so important. I took this past weekend off, and I started watching things from start to finish. And to get that kind of enhanced broadcast for the fans, I just so appreciate it. I appreciate the effort that they put in. I was a little skeptical at first, watching baseball on Prime. Kind of got over that because of what they're able to deliver to the fans. As a fan, I can appreciate what you get out of that. And if you have any issues trying to figure out how you get Prime, how you watch Prime, I'm here for you. Text me, send me an IM. I'll take you through the process. It's easy peasy. You can hit rewind. You can hit forward. Just so many options to appreciate the game we love of racing.
It's going to be around, folks. Like I said earlier, you need to figure out a way to adapt to it, because it is here to stay. It is not going anywhere. And the Prime folks have done a great job. That's not saying anything differential about anybody else. But
no.
The latitude that they have and the playground that they have is so much bigger and unencumbered as opposed to the networks.
Yeah, it's the little things, too. It's like being able to come on with just the visuals,
like
5 minutes, 10 minutes before broadcast. I love that. It's
and
the little
by
things.
The way, the silent lap number 8 that they're doing for Kyle Busch gives me chills every
classy.
Time it's happened. It's
every
really
time.
Classy. And way to go. Whoever's idea that was, they did it here at Charlotte Start, and it's caught on with everybody else. For Alexis Erickson and Lee Spencer, I'm Doug Rice. Remember, keep it between the navigational beacons.
Between the buoys.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.